Well, welcome to Stutter Talk, episode 423 for September 30th, 2013. I'm your host, Peter Reitzes, starting off the show, as always, with some good voluntary stuttering. I'd like to welcome back to Stutter Talk, Courtney Luckman. Hi, Courtney.
Hi there.
Courtney Luckman is a person who stutters and founder of the Charlottesville, Virginia chapter of the National Stuttering Association. Ms. Luckman now lives in Chicago. She has now become the co-chapter leader of the Chicago City chapter of the National Stuttering Association, the NSA. Courtney, are there still three NSA chapters in Chicago?
Yes, but they're all spread out. We are the only chapter that's in the city of Chicago.
What kind of turnout do you generally get at your meetings?
So we've only had about three, but I would say it's been average about 6 to 8 people.
That's fantastic. So you have a nice little round table discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been a very casual conversation, and it's been nice just to have ideas bounce off people and to have people share various things and to not have it too structured.
Now, is this a chapter where it's only for people who stutter, or are professionals and graduate students allowed to attend as well?
It's for everyone who is interested in stuttering. Whether you stutter, or you know somebody who stutter, or are just interested in learning about stuttering, you're welcome there. Actually, my co-chapter leader, she does not stutter, but she's a speech language pathologist who has a lot of clients who are people who stutter.
Oh, who's your co-chapter leader?
Katie Gore.
Oh, okay, great. So we have three big topics today. We're going to talk about your recent experience with job interviews, two recent Stutter Talk episodes that you wrote us about, and you have currently been using Stutter Social, and I'd love to get your feedback on what that experience has been like. So let's start with the job interviews. You recently graduated from college, and you're working an internship at a zoo in Chicago, and you were on job interviews for 3 months, which I mean, I think that's daunting for anybody, whether they stutter or not. But what was that job interview process like for you?
It was very terrifying. It was 3 months of just constant rejection. And I can't really say for sure whether it was because of my stuttering, but during that time period, because I felt so rejected, and I just felt like I wasn't really wanted anywhere, my stuttering was a lot more like outward, and I just felt very, very, very out of control. And I felt like my speech was just very, just a lot of outward stuttering. And so I found myself that when I would like advertise to jobs and all of those jobs that I had a lot of like outward stuttering in, the interviewer didn't really seem to mind. And he or she usually, you know, remained with eye contact and you know, like wasn't in like any way mean about it. But I never ended up getting that job. So my thought was, you know, if maybe they hired another candidate who would better fit the position, because they could communicate faster. Because at the time, I was interviewing for a lot of customer service jobs and jobs in bakeries and jobs in restaurants. And I just felt like they didn't really want somebody that couldn't communicate effectively and couldn't communicate fast, even though I knew that I could. And ironically, I now have a part-time job in one of the hardest customer service jobs, which is being a hostess at a restaurant, which requires a ton of talking.
Yeah, and so, well, there's a lot on the table, but let me just start with the new job. So you have this, I think you said, a family-owned business that where you have a job where you're talking and stuttering. What's it like to stutter in a job where your employers seem pretty okay with your stuttering?
Yeah, so I've found that as I have more acceptance from my coworkers, that I actually stutter less, and that I'm actually a lot more fluent because I'm not worried about not stuttering, and I'm not worried about what they think. But it's still the hardest part for me is still answering the phone and, you know, having that that time pressure to say what I have to say, and if I don't say it, then they're gonna hang up.
So when you're on an interview with employer, and did you say that all of the interviews that the potential employers didn't seem fazed by your stuttering?
Right. So most of them didn't. Most of them because I had advertised, and I was very confident about my stuttering. I think they just didn't really seem to mind. But I did have one experience that I just felt very much harassed by my stuttering, and that she just didn't really understand why I was interviewing for a position that required so much talking and so much customer service if I stutter.
Hmm. So in that type of situation, I mean, I'm going to say probably the obvious, but you were probably struggling and stuttering more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, interviews are one of my feared situations. So I definitely stutter more during during interviews than regular conversation.
So does that lead you to want to try and be, quote, fluent, or does that make you want to advertise your stuttering, or does that make you want to use a speech tool, or does that make you want to stutter openly? So when you're in an interview and the person might not be very receptive to your stuttering, or maybe they might seem to have a neutral tone, like, how do you want to approach your speech?
Usually it's more about my attitude towards it, because I know that interviews aren't really the ideal place to start to practice my techniques. So during that situation, I basically talked about my openness with it and my involvement in the National Stuttering Association, and she kept asking me questions like, what would you do if a coworker finished your sentences? And she was asking me, you know, we have a lot of rude customers. Would you get upset if they didn't give you the reaction you would want, and you need to have thick skin at this job? So I think she was associating stuttering with being weak and having thin skin, which is not me.
Wow. You know, just, we've been talking a little bit recently because, we're going to try to get you to host some Stutter Talk episodes, and we're really excited about that. And just working with you on that, you're so darn organized and smart and ready for this world. So when I hear that you're looking for a job for 3 months, I have to be honest and say my gut instinct was that the stuttering was probably a pretty good part of why you had to keep looking. Do you think that's fair of me to say, or do you think?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think that's fair to an extent. I mean, you know, Chicago is a pretty tough job market, even for just part-time jobs. But I think that it's just like interesting to see which jobs I stuttered at more and which jobs I stuttered at less, and just like the, you know, like how far like in the like interview process I got. And I did receive a couple job offers before I took the one I have now. And both of those job offers, I'm ashamed to admit, but I did not advertise, because I just, I sort of creeped into my old ways in passing as fluent, and I just really never got a chance to sort of explain.
And that's really hard, because if your passing is fluent, then at some point it's like, when's your stuttering going to come out?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Right. And I actually didn't recall that you could pass as fluent. And I think it's really, I just want to point out to the listeners that I think you're doing quite a bit of noticeable stuttering now. And it always amazes me about how many of us can pass as fluent.
I can.
This is Stutter Talk. I'm Peter Reitzes here with Courtney Luckman, who co-leads a Chicago National Stuttering Association chapter. So you know, stuttering is such an interesting thing because, you know, when I've applied for jobs, no one's ever said to me, so you're bald. How are you going to respond if somebody at work or a client comes in and teases you about being bald? And do people say to an employee who's very thin or overweight, do they say, well, before we hire you, we need to know, how are you going to respond to somebody saying you're too skinny or that you should lose some weight? And so it's curious to me, or it's interesting to me that folks would suggest that stuttering, that they would point that out more for stuttering than for other issues. And it just makes me think that people who stutter are still, we're still open season for certain things. It's still okay to make jokes about us in some areas, or with some people still think it's okay, or some people still think it's okay to ask us questions they wouldn't ask somebody else.
Right. I think because stuttering in the job world, it does have an impact on how you're going to perform that job. Whereas being bald or being skinny are all features of how you look, which, I mean, unless you're in some sort of fashion job, you know, they don't really matter. But I do see where an employer would be concerned and sort of like asking questions about my stuttering if I, you know, go to answer the phone and can't even speak.
That's a really good point. So what would you say? So let's just say an employer outright said to you, we're concerned that you might not be able to communicate effectively as a host or as a person answering the phone. What would you say or think back?
I would respond with, I see your point, and I agree with that, which is why I have started back on speech therapy to gain control over my speech so that I don't have those long blocks and so that I'm able to move past them to gain fluid control of my speech.
So what I like is that you're very open to having an open back and forth conversation. And I do find that refreshing and for better or for worse. And sometimes I think it's for worse that we really can, you know, employers, there's things that they would want to ask you that they won't, because they're always worried about discrimination in a lawsuit. So I do like that you're open to an open conversation. And these are tricky and tough issues. Let me ask you just one last question about this. How have your coworkers been? So you're now hosting at a restaurant. How have your coworkers been with your stuttering?
It's all been positive. My manager, he's been great. He said, you know, that's fine and take your time. And one of my coworkers, my fellow hostess, it's just her and I right now. One of the first things she said to me when she met me was this. She said, one of the reasons that I really like you is for your stuttering. You own it, and that's awesome. If anyone ever gives you crap about it at work, I will throw them out of this place.
And I think that's a great title for this episode. And wow, I just backed up. I haven't done that in a while. Owning your stuttering with Courtney Luckman. I kind of like that as a title. That's really nice to hear. And so they're seeing value in you by how you handle your stuttering. I love hearing that.
Yeah, and she also added after that, she said, you know, like one of the reasons that that I, you know, that you got hired is because I talked to the managers and I said, you know, that like, look what she did. She started this whole stuttering chapter, and you know, she was really impressed with what I did with the Charlottesville chapter of the National Stuttering Association. And I think that for me, that shows that courage really does shine through.
That is really great to hear. This is Stutter Talk. Peter Reiches with Courtney Luckman. Send your thoughts and questions to Stutter Talk at StutterTalk.com or join the conversation at the Stutter Talk Facebook podcast group page. That's a lot of words there. So I know, Courtney, that you've recently been using Stutter Social. I actually don't know what the right way to say it. Joining Stutter Social, participating in Stutter Social, which is, from what I can tell, an online support group, and we've featured them on Stutter Talk talking about it. But what's your experience as a participant? And I mean, so it is an online support group, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what's it been like for you? Or tell us how it works and what it's been like for you.
So the way it works is it uses Google Hangout, which is similar to Skype, where it's a video call, but you can have up to 10 people in at one time. So it's a multiple people video session. And basically they welcome anybody in there, and there's people from all over the world. And it's just a place to come to talk about stuttering and to share any struggles you have had. And it's been awesome for me. I mean, it's very therapeutic, and it's a nice sort of extra hour for me. In addition to my, weekly speech therapy sessions to practice my techniques, because it gives me a safe environment to do so.
So is it kind of run, I mean, I know there's different hosts for Stutter Social, but in general, is it kind of run like an NSA meeting where there's an activity or there's free time to talk and everybody takes turns? Is that basically it?
Yeah, so there's, I believe now there's about four different hosts that do one each week. And they each come prepared with a topic. But, you know, sometimes they get to the topic and sometimes they don't.
Yeah, that sounds like speech therapy. That sounds like a support group meeting. That just sounds like life. Like, you know, you have great plans, and then the people who are participating sort of take over with their plans, and it's all good.
Right, right.
Yeah. So we should give out the website for people who want to check it out. It's stuttersocial.com. And for some reason, I thought there were more than four hosts, because I just, I could be wrong, you know, but if you want to find out more, go to stuttersocial.com. Is this something that you're recommending to your fellow stuttering friends?
Oh yeah. I mean, I tell everyone to go in there. you know, I just think that why not, you know, if you have the time, you don't even have to leave your bed.
Yeah. That's, now is the sound okay? So if there's 8 or 10 people on, can you hear one another? Is there too much crosstalk, or does it generally work out?
It generally works out. I mean, it's hard if everyone's talking at one time. So, you know, so I think like everyone's mindful of letting one person talk at a time, which is often hard for people who stutter.
Yeah. And without saying anybody's name, can you just share with us maybe one conversation or one comment or topic you heard on Stutter Social that, you know, made you think about stuttering or that you found helpful?
We've had some pretty good talks about stuttering and pharmaceuticals and, you know, different sort of treatments and different things that people have tried or that people have like heard of people trying, which I found interesting. So that sort of inspired me to research more about it online.
Yeah. And I've been corresponding with Dr. Gerald McGuire, who's a medical doctor, because he's been on Stutter Talk a number of times.
Right.
And he's going to come on to do an overview of the medical or pharmaceutical treatment of stuttering, because okay. It just seems that those are among the most popular Stutter Talk shows. If Jerry comes on and talks about pharmaceuticals, people really tune in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that does not surprise me at all. So this is Stutter Talk. Peter Wright is here with return guest Courtney Luckman. One last topic for us today, Courtney. You wrote Stutter Talk recently, and you heard our two last episodes, which was knowing what to do and not doing it, and then the follow-up, how did you get there? So in the first episode, we talked about people who stutter who will say things like they know what to do to manage or face their stuttering, and they're having trouble doing it. And then I interviewed Jeff Shames, who I've known for 20 years or so, and I basically said, Jeff, you've come so far. How did you get there? Because it wasn't overnight. It was very gradual. What were your thoughts on that? So let's start with knowing what to do and not doing it. Can you relate to that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, from going through the successful stuttering management program, I have a whole binder of things that I know what to do, but do I do half of them? No. And I think it's, you know, it's not so much a conscious choice. It's just that, there's just so many things that I know that I can do to control my speech, but, I just get sort of like overwhelmed and, I don't know, you know, it's difficult to put into words, but it was like interesting when I was listening to that because I like almost felt a sense of like, well, I mean, if you aren't doing what you know you should do, I don't think it's always a bad thing. And the way I see it is it's sometimes advantageous to not do what we know will give us control over our speech. When we lose control, we experience these terrifying moments and we grow from them and we learn from them. And they are the motivation to use the techniques. So if we never had these moments, then we wouldn't know.
Yeah, it reminds me of a conversation I had recently with a family because they have a child who's almost 6 and the child is not fully potty trained. So he's still going to the bathroom in his pants. But now the difference is the other kids are noticing it. And they're saying things like he's smelly or he's acting like a baby. And it's really painful to hear something like that. But I also said to the family, you know, as much as this is horrible, it's probably going to motivate him in some way to say he has to go to the bathroom. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that kids should, you know, accidentally be rude, because it's not just teasing. It's also things like teacher so-and-so is smelly, because they are. And it's painful for the child to hear that. So I do think that through this pain, there may be some adjustment or some awareness that when you're playing with blocks and you have to go to the bathroom, you have to stand up and say, I need to go to the bathroom. But I mean, is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of thoughts went through my head when I was listening to those two episodes. And I think that, that's one of them. And then also what I was thinking about was just, you know, it seemed like everyone was talking about on the show, just, you know, doing something and not doing the whole thing. But sometimes what I found is more helpful is just to take like small steps and to set small goals. And we put a lot of pressure on ourselves. And I think it was Jeff Shames who said we beat ourselves up. And I think that's,
I think that was me, but that's okay. I think I said it, but that's okay. Well, I mean, that's something that I don't know if I got it from the Successful Stuttering Management Program, but there's certainly, when I was there, a flavor there of, you know, we're stutterers. We don't have to beat ourselves up for this. Now, there's also a flavor there of you should work hard on changing how you talk and how you feel about talking.
Right.
And I do want to say, just as after I gave you that whole potty training speech, you know, it did pop into my head, wait a second, Peter, there's a difference here, because it's okay to stutter, but it's really not okay to poop in your pants in the first grade. but it's true. So I just wanted to say, for anyone who wants to strangle me right now, I acknowledge that. So it wasn't probably the best example.
No, but I mean, but I think we can relate to it, though. I mean, I think it's a good analogy.
Yeah, and I also have to say that when you were talking about advertising on your job interviews, that's a big deal. That is big. I mean, I have to think through my own lens of that takes a lot of courage. At least it did for me. So I just have to say, I feel like saying congratulations or that's awesome or just, you know, just acknowledge that is a big deal. Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, that's a big part of me, and advertising is what sort of keeps me sane, and that's the number one thing that helps me deal with my stuttering.
Well, I really like to hear that, and you know, that's been my experience too, but it's also not easy. It's not easy. It's still not easy for me, and people still sometimes give me a second take. Like, I recently met an audiologist and we were sort of talking shop because our fields are so related, and I mentioned my stuttering, and then I think, well, gee, I sort of got the sense they might not believe me, or they might think it's kind of kooky because I'm so, I don't want to say fluent because I'm just not fond of that word, but I'm so not stuttering most of the time.
Right.
So yeah, it gets a little complicated. So what did you think of Jeff's How Did You Get There? I mean, because I'm not sure I accomplished fully what I set out to accomplish, because how can you capture 20 years of change in just 30 minutes of talking about it or an hour of talking about it? But did that say anything to you about your journey or our journey as stutterers?
You know, I sort of pride myself on making changes and growing as a person, but never settling, and always, always working on your stuttering. He talked about being in a good place with stuttering, but still working on it. And I really liked that.
Yeah, and you're talking about this process of change where you assess where you are, you make changes, you reassess where you are, you make more changes. And I relate to that of always wanting to, not just with stuttering, but with anything, get better at what we do.
Right.
Yeah, I really relate to that. So, Courtney, I know you have some more thoughts about the recent Stutter Talk episode. So can you leave us with just one more thought or idea from those episodes?
Yeah, so one thing that I really liked from there that I had also thought about myself is when Karen mentioned the analogy to weight loss, because I've always thought of that, and that's something that's a concrete example that allows people to sort of understand what stuttering is like. And I always wrote down, I wrote this paragraph a while back, and I looked over it, and I noticed how similar it was to what they were talking about, and I'll read it if you'd like.
Oh yeah, please.
Stuttering is like a diet. You can't stop talking and you can't stop eating. You're never cured. You're always on maintenance. So stop thinking about the destination and keep your eye on the journey that's in front of you. Society is obsessed with perfection. You are never good enough until you have the next product or until you look and act like everyone else. We're constantly trying to fix our flaws as if we're broken. But we are not broken, and until we accept ourselves as individuals and realize that it's impossible to reach perfection, we will never be happy.
I think that is a great, great place to leave this episode. I really enjoyed that. This is Stutter Talk, and I want to thank you, Courtney Luckman, for joining us today. And I look forward to hoping we can get you to host a couple episodes for us.
Me too. Thank you so much for the opportunity.